Hello, this is Janet Gallen with Love Letters Live, thrilled to let you know that Marshall Mend, who has been a several-time guest on Love Letters Live, is back. Marshall is one of the most positive people I have ever met. I hope you listen to his other episodes. Dropped out of high school to go into the butcher business, was wildly successful at that on his own. He took on bad meat practices by others and put an end to that. He moved to Coeur d'Alene and took on the Nazis. I mean, there's no stopping this man, and does it all with such a positive, cheerful overtone. So he's back. He's writing a book called Words of Wisdom, and you go ahead and tell us about that. What made you do this?
When I was in the steak and seafood business, we had four offices that we set up, and one of them was in San Diego. And I went down to San Diego to train some salespeople down there. And when I went in the office for the first time, they had a little sign on the wall. It's like 8x10. And it said, you got to wanna, then you got to do. And I was so impressed with that sign and that saying that I never forgot it. And then I got my education listening to the best of the best on the freeways in Los Angeles. Somebody introduced me to audio tape learning. And I listen to people like Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, Zig Ziglar, Wayne Dyer, W. Clement Stone, Leo Buscaglia. So and the list goes on and on. I got hundreds of teachers and hundreds of mentors.
And the ones you choose bring you from strength to strength.
They all bring me from strength to strength.
Yes.
Yeah. You just get better and better. And I got the equivalent, and I was a high school dropout, I got the equivalent on between 1973 and 1980 of a double doctorate in psychology and motivation. I don't even know if there is a doctorate for motivation, but if there is, I got a double. and then I got a triple doctorate in sales. I went from being a mediocre salesperson to being a great salesperson. And I owe that to Zig Ziglar and some other folks just like him that taught me how to be great.
I have a question about that because I've known you for a long time and I've known you better in our adulthood. And you are such a naturally positive person that all these lessons were somehow superimposed on already positive. In other words, I don't know whether they taught you or they polished you.
They taught me, they polished me,
okay.
And I was not always a positive about sales. In fact, when I had my own business and we were in the restaurant supply, I was in the restaurant supply business. I took on a partner because I did not like sales. I didn't want to be a salesperson. I wanted to be the buyer. And I partnered up with a person and he became the salesman and I became the buyer. But when I went into the steak and seafood business, I was out selling, and I loved what I was doing. I loved that kind of sales, and I just got real, and after learning, I got real, real good at it.
Did part of your love of the sales have to do with the high quality you were selling?
No. It had to do with, having people buy from me to, to sell the product. And when I learned how to get more sales, when I first starting that business, I used to think that 5 to 10 boxes a day, if I sold them, and the average price was $25. And I used to think that, that was good and that's what everybody could do. However, after I was getting my education and learning from people like Zig Ziglar, there were days I had where I did over 100 boxes in one day. So, I mean, there was a major, major change, and there was also a major change in my attitude. I love selling.
Good for you. That's a wonderful change. So you've been very successful in a variety of ways, and I know you moved to Coeur d'Alene at some early point in your life and went into real estate, and you were also very successful there, and then you took on the Nazis, and you were very successful there. And by the way, there's a book out called, I think, Hate is My Neighbor.
That's correct.
Yes, that's
good
correct.
Memory.
A good memory. It was quite a memorable story. And Hate is My Neighbor is the Marshall story of taking on the Nazis in Coeur d'Alene. It's so worth reading, just for your education. So now you're doing a book, and I know that you want to share what's made you successful.
I'm doing a book called Words of Wisdom. And it's the words of wisdom that I learned over the years. A lot of them I've created myself, but most of them came from other people. And I've got folks like Zig Ziglar, Wayne Dyer, Norman Vincent Peale.
Why don't you just share some of them? Why don't you just sit and have a share session with me and my listeners?
Well, here's one that is my own.
Uh-huh.
And the first part comes from the Bible. Ask and you shall receive. The second part comes from me. Give and you shall receive more.
Okay. What's next? And who's this by?
Here's one from Elvis Presley.
Uh-huh.
A good friend of mine submitted this one to me. His name is Larry Geller. And Larry Geller was Elvis's personal hairstylist and spiritual advisor from 1964 to 1977. And Larry Geller was an Orthodox Jew.
And did Larry Geller, was he responsible for the way Elvis looked at burial?
That's the last time he did his hair. It was in the coffin.
Oh,
he was responsible for him all the time. He did his hair every day. He used to work for Jay Sebring, who is the guy who invented doing hairstyling for men.
And was murdered.
By Charlie Manson.
Charles Manson.
Yep. He was a victim of Charlie Manson.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is a saying that Larry shared with me that Elvis used to say. The truth is like the sun. It's always there, but sometimes you can't see it.
Okay, what's next? I like these.
Let's see. Here's another one by a man by the name of Steve Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Ross is a Holocaust survivor. And he has also was very successful in the U.S. He spent time in 10 different Nazi concentration camps from 9 years old to 14 years old. And he was in April 29th of 1945, he was liberated from the Nazi death camp Dachau. He went on to inspire thousands of low-income inner-city students and will inspire millions more with his books, his movies, and the New England Holocaust Memorial in Boston that he is responsible for having built.
What did he say?
His name is Steve Ross, and Steve said, now he's talking to inner city kids, and this is the message that he's basically giving them. He says, if I can survive what I survived, you can survive anything. And that is a great message for inner city kids because they're usually going through a lot of tough times, but not as tough as what Steve Ross went through.
What's this next one now? And who sent it to you or who wrote
this one,
it?
This one is my own.
Okay.
And this is in the human rights section of my Words of Wisdom. People learn to hate. If they can learn to hate, they can learn to love. Be a love teacher.
Very nice. Very nice.
And this one here.
Oh, this is a story so worth telling. Go ahead.
This is a story of, in 2003, I was visiting my son, daughter-in-law, my granddaughter, and my grandson. At the time, my grandson, Logan, was about 5 years old. And he was picking on his older sister, who was about 8. And he was hitting her, and she was whining, you know, quit it, Logan. And then I said, Logan, cut it out. And Logan turned around, and he looked up at me, and he said, you're not the boss of me. And I said, oh, yeah? Who's the boss of you? Thinking that he's going to say his mother and father. He looks me straight in the eye. He takes his right hand, index finger, and points it to his chest, and he says, I'm the boss of me.
Good for him.
And I laughed when he did that, and then I thought about that. I'm hearing wisdom from a 5-year-old. Who's the boss of you?
Excellent. What do you have to say here about, is this your...
This is another one that I did on enthusiasm. I got a real nice poem on enthusiasm, too, that I did years ago.
Uh-huh.
But this one, enthusiasm. To be enthusiastic, act enthusiastic, and guess what? You're enthusiastic.
Lovely.
Life is simple.
And what about this? Who submitted
this? This is a friend of mine submitted this to me. And happiness. If you don't think money can buy happiness, you just don't know where to shop.
Yes.
And that's a little humor.
Right. And I've heard that in years past.
Okay. And then...
this is yours also, right?
This is mine. I choose to be an I can person. I kick the cans out of my life.
Wonderful.
And I think I kind of heard that from somebody somewhere along the way, but... So maybe it's not mine, but
and I think people are, if they're lucky, getting more educated and braver about turning away toxic people in their lives.
This one is one that I came up with myself, and this one is I heard from other people things like this, but I put this together.
Okay.
An object becomes more beautiful because of its flaws, and so do you. You are perfect just the way you are. Fall in love with yourself just the way you are. And others will fall in love with you because of the way you are.
Yes. And that by the way, that's a nice comment on perfection, which is, first of all, unattainable, and secondly, irritating.
Yeah. No.
Or the other way around.
Well, this is perfection. You are perfect just the way you are.
Yes, with flaws.
Yes, with flaws, yeah. This one was inspired by Napoleon Hill. I was
Who is that?
Studied under Napoleon Hill. He wrote the book Think and Grow Rich, was probably the biggest selling book in the world next to the Bible. Sold more copies.
Say the name of it again. Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich. And this one I call Opportunity. Every disappointment carries with it the seed of an equal or greater benefit. Look for those benefits. If you don't look, you won't find them.
Napoleon Hill.
That's Napoleon Hill.
That's smart.
Okay, this is one that I'm using in two spots. It's in the book as words of wisdom, but it's also the mission statement for a new business that I'm starting, doing biographies. I've got somebody that's doing a biography on me, and I've got a good story, but you know what? There's a lot of people that have good stories, and the idea is to do this for your family, and then if it's a really good book, it's got a good title, you sell it, and it makes money, you make a profit on it. But here's the quote.
So the three things to leave behind, right?
Okay, before we leave this world, there are three things we need to leave behind. Number one, your story. Number two, your wisdom. Number three, your inspiration.
Thank you. You're doing that. You really do want to see other people succeed, don't you?
Yes, that's the key. In fact, my mission statement for me personally,
mm-hmm.
I taught a class at the college at North Idaho College for about 15 years on investing in single-family homes. And inspired people to become millionaires by investing in real estate. And I've got at least between 50 and 100 people who are millionaires today from taking that class. But my mission statement is to inspire millions of people to become millionaires. And I believe that this book, Words of Wisdom, is going to do just that. Now, everybody is not going to like every saying that's in this book, but they're going to like a whole lot of them, and they put that into their life, what they read. But these little sayings can change your life and for the better. And there's five things. In fact, the title of the book is Words of Wisdom that can inspire you to become happy, healthy, successful, wealthy, and wise. Now, all five of those things are important, but the very most important of the five is happy. Happy beats everything. It beats health. It beats money. It beats everything that's out there. Because if you're not happy, none of the other stuff is important. And if you're happy, none of the other stuff is important. Well, I guess it's all important, but it's not as important as happy. You know, happy people do not commit suicide. happy people do not do terrible things.
So that is interesting to hear you say most important is happy, because the word on the street is the most important thing is your health.
Right. That's correct.
And that is important.
It's important, but it's not as important as happy.
And you've come through health challenges, and you didn't get unhappy during them.
No. You just make the best of whatever the situation is. There was Les Brown, who's a motivational speaker, when he was in school, they told him that he was uneducable,
mm-hmm.
and they kept passing him through school. And one of his teachers in high school asked him to do something. He says, "I can't do that because I'm uneducable." He says, "Who told you that?"
My
he
goodness.
Says, "Everybody told me that." And he says, "Well, don't you listen to them." He says, "You are educable." And he went on to be brilliant, and he is a great motivational speaker. He was a state senator in the state of Ohio. He had his own radio show. The guy has a way with words. He is unbelievable. But he was doing a radio show, and it was a call-in show, and this woman called him up, and she was going to commit suicide. And he said, "You know, don't. Before you do that, I'd like to take you to lunch, and I'd like to take you to meet Audrey Pillmore." And they went to lunch, and he took her to meet Audrey Pillmore. And Audrey Pillmore is a prisoner in her own body. She's bedridden in a hospital, and they walk into Audrey's room, and Les says, "Hey, Audrey, how you doing?" And Audrey looks up at him and says, "Better than some and better than most. How you like me now?" And this woman who wanted to commit suicide, you know, saw this attitude, and she definitely didn't commit suicide. She had everything going for her. Audrey had nothing going for her. And Audrey was positive as can be, and she was, you know, ready to take her own life. So her life changed with that one little meeting.
How fortunate.
Yeah. And here's a quote from Robert Shuler. Robert Shuler was a minister in Garden Grove, California, had the Crystal Cathedral, and he was a positive thinking guy. He was a student of Norman Vincent Peale, in fact. Robert Shuler one of his sayings was, "Bloom where you are planted. Make the best of where you are." And I say, better than that, bloom where you want to be. I did that, and so can you.
Okay, that is a wonderful place to just stop. I mean, there's no wonderful place to stop, because I could listen to these for a long time. But we'll be able to get your book eventually. When do you think we'll be able to get that?
Valentine's Day is our projected date to have that available.
Okay, and how will people know it's ready?
I don't know. How will they know it's ready?
Will you be selling it through Amazon?
We will definitely put it on Amazon, and we will probably do some internet marketing on that and have that available. And we'll also sell it in bulk so people can use it for gifts, because it makes a great gift.
Yes.
This book will change people's lives. It's simple. It's easy. And I had a reading deficiency. That's one of the reasons I dropped out of high school. You can read one page at a time. A good friend of mine, Mark Victor Hansen, and if you don't know who Mark Victor Hansen is, he used to be a motivational speaker. In fact, he gave me a real good quote that I really liked. I thought it was a little coarse when I first heard it, but it was the first time I ever heard him. And I heard him in San Diego at the Winner's Circle breakfast. And he said, "The best way to help poor people is not to be one of them." And I thought about that, and I thought, boy, that's, you know, a little bit rough. It was funny. It was kind of like a joke, I thought. However, I thought about that, and if everybody thought that way, the best way to help poor people is not to be one of them, we wouldn't have any poor people.
Okay, can I ask you if you would share just a few more of your favorites that were submitted by other people? Okay. Actually, now that I think about it, it's time to share some
more. Here's one of my favorites. I've had a lot of mentors. They were mentors, friends, and teachers. One of them was Zig Ziglar. I had the privilege of meeting him one time and spending a little time with him, and I spent time with him at an all-day seminar on sales. He helped take me from being a mediocre salesperson to becoming a great salesperson. But Zig, this was my favorite saying of his. Zig used to say, you can get everything in life you want if you just help enough other people get what they want.
Oh, how lovely.
And when you think about that, that's really important. Because it doesn't matter if you're a little kid or if you're an old man. That works for everybody in between.
Helping others
yes. Get what they want, you get what you want. And that is for salespeople especially important.
I am tempted to ask you to share a few more, even though I think that's a little bit overly generous of you. But you say there'll be 150 in the book, so this is really a sampling. Okay, so what's next?
Next, we have one by Wayne Dyer. And Wayne Dyer is one of my major mentors. And he said, there's no way to happiness. Happiness itself is the way. Okay. Took me a long time to figure that out, what exactly that meant. But we all have our greatest power in life. That's a book I read by J. Martin Coey. And our greatest power in life is our power of choice. We get to choose.
Oh, yes.
Happiness is one of the things that we get to choose. We can choose to be happy. If we choose it, we're happy. And happiness doesn't come from other people. It doesn't come from things you get. It might make you a little happy if you get something real nice, but it doesn't make you happy long term. What makes you happy long term is your choice to be happy.
So give us another one.
Okay. Here's one that I came up with myself. Be nice to everybody. Be nice to each other. But most important of all is be nice to yourself.
Yes. Yes. I like that. Okay. Okay. Let's have another couple of stories here and see what you got.
Okay. Here's one from a friend of mine. She was the founder of the Winner's Circle Breakfast in San Diego. She was the pastor of the Church of Religious Science in La Jolla, California. Her name was Terry Cole Whitaker. She looked a lot like Doris Day.
Oh.
Wonderful, wonderful lady, and positive as all get out. And one of the things that she said that I thought was really good was, what other people think of me is none of my business.
Yes, I like that a lot. Actually, I heard that from some actress years and years ago. I'm glad she shared that with you.
Yeah, glad she shared it with me too.
That is so true.
Yeah, that was in San Diego in 1978.
Okay, what about your grandma?
My grandma is a great lady, and this is we can end on this one, okay?
Okay.
And whenever it was time to go and leave, she would never say goodbye. She would always say, enjoy.
Oh, my.
And that's what I'm going to say now. Enjoy.
Oh, thank you.
Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the rest of your life.
And that you have the power to do it.
We all have the power to do it. That's a choice,
yes, is
to enjoy.
That is so lovely. Let me ask you something just real quick, because I always ask it. If you were to write a love letter now, who would it be to?
Who would the love letter be to?
Yeah, I'm thinking your grandma,
never mind. Well, my grandmother isn't going to get it.
No, I understand.
She's going to wait for me to come up to see her.
Okay.
Okay. I would say to the world, I would write the love letter. And the love letter to the world would be, choose the things you want.
Okay.
And be happy.
Okay, so I've got a suggestion, because I really do believe that love letters need to be slipped in a mailbox and show up somewhere. What if you address it to yourself, sign it and date it, put it in an envelope, Marshall Mend, and then your address, and to be open after I'm gone. And somebody will open it then.
This words of wisdom is going to be my love letter.
Well, for
and
sure.
And that is my love letter, and everybody can have it, and everybody can open it, and something to share with your family. This is something inspire people to become happy, healthy, wealthy, wise.
So this is another thought then, because I really, you know, I think a love letter needs to have something of your handwriting on it, something personal. What if you suggest to people that they buy this book as a love letter to someone, and then they write something on the first page
in
their
idea.
Own handwriting.
That's a good
I'm
idea.
I'm sending this to you,
okay.
My brother, because I know how positive you are. Life could be even better. Something. And then they can sign it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, signature is king. Handwriting is king.
Yeah. And I will be happy to autograph anyone personally.
Oh, well, then that's good
on
also.
On the bookshelf, if they want them personally,
okay.
I will do that.
So we have more than one.
And I will have a page special for that. And they can do their own writing and their own message
Perfect.
To the ones that they love and the ones that they care about.
That makes me really happy. Okay. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Marshall Mend
saying goodbye. And I hope someday Marshall will come back with more to share. Oh, I just love him.